for a radar blind bombing device with accuracy. German beams. You remember the Germans had beams and bombed Coventry and other places, and it was their task to the beam that the Germans used flew towards France, where it came from. They got interested now in the problem, which was becoming quite serious, how to improve. Were holed up in Brest, and the Air Force was now, because they used a Lorentz beam, which I've talked about, with a navigation. Radar method to measure the distance out, and at a particular first radar measurement of distance thing arrived. Well, it led to but what he mounted to, you know that radar can measure distance. Sent a signal to the aircraft, and the aircraft received it and go out and come back again, and is able to convert that into distance, because we know radar. This from the ground station to the target, let's say Krupp's in Essen, dashes if he gets too far away from us, and in between the Go further. So, and of course, if the part, the important navigational issue, to get him on a track which will take him over the miles away, there's another radar station. train is going round this curve. For this station, he measures his distance. Oh, approaching the target. His button. But the result is the two radar systems working together. And they developed this system, much more complicated than I've described. And the people who worked the bombing range were astonished. That convinced a lot of people at Bomber Command that they were on, that TRA were on a very If we talk about it later on, I shall tell you a few of the complications, but nevertheless, how are we going to get this distance to the Krupp's factory from Trimmingham, where the CAT station was, and Walmer in Dover, where the mouse station was? This was passed over to a group of people I never met, wonderful people at the Air Ministry, who in fact, working from maps, found the maps in France not sufficiently accurate. That's where we started. The fact that the bomber was we had to affect the range with that sort of thing. We made these calculations. Calculations. A number of other stations, but the two in East Anglia and Dover. Expired because we would be wounded or they'd done their operational tours. Flying. It was felt right from the beginning, and it to understand each other. We had to understand what bombing was, how bombing was carried out. We had to I don't think I need to tell you any more about how OBA worked. Because the range of OBO, it could only operate on targets about we flew off at the signal flew off at the having to take account of but crucially the whole of the Ruhr, and that is number two, was that it took 10 minutes for miles to go, you've 30-40 miles to go, you've 30 miles to go, open your bomb doors, ready. We had was that we were going to attack Germany using these aircraft. Really wasn't sensible enough. So Bomber Command decided that the Oberst Troops. First, we went in with a mosquito attack. Pathfinder aircraft came and dropped some green markers on our red markers to We also had another grounds, other ground stations, so you got one from there, one from there, one from there, one. I think we started calibrating, radio. December 42, and the first great raid the first time that the factory had ever been hurt. It was a huge success. Let me try and tell you what we were particularly involved in the ground station. Sent us first, secretly, the over scrambled telephones. Because of the tangential effect I've told you of flying from. But about the ballistics of the bomb, about the the effect of the wind was on the trail angle, the the bomb to hit the target. You know, when an aeroplane drops its bomb, of course, the aeroplane's going at 300. Target. And that took several hours of calculations. And the then the next step was that we you had a WAF, we got some brilliant girls to do this work, who kept the log and plotted the courses. One to operate the aerial, a technical officer and a mechanic in case anything went wrong with the bits and pieces. The controller also had an assistant. All very keyed up. Of course. So we were sitting opposite a large set about like the size of this kitchen wall, dining room wall. And there were two, what you would think of as television sets, they weren't television sets at all, on which the display was going to be made. Let's just talk about the display on the left-hand one, which was the long-distance one. First, the controller would call up the aircraft, who'd gone out, and he knew where the target was, but he'd gone out into a position so that we could guide him using G. So we got there, the girl turned the aerial out. C or X or whatever it was. And he would switch on, and immediately right at the left-hand side was the signal going out. Radar screen 20 miles away, 150 miles away. Down there. So that you, that was your aeroplane, a line of about, oh, 5 miles, which he almost always wasn't 5 miles. We had a coded head in that direction, keep tracking, dot, 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 and we sent him out dots. Holes of the dash to make a continuous sound. There was no and he used to turn on to the beam and weave a little. Screen, much, much better. we started to, the dots were running out, he would cross the beam. An expanded screen till he settled down on what we all used to call the beam. And we're going to keep him there, and that means he'll go over there. Told him with a letter A, you are 50 miles from the town. You're 20 miles from the target. They were getting a bit... So now we've got an airplane flying over the target very close to it. There was a bomb door. Relative to the ground. The pilot knew how he was going 300 miles an hour on his instrument. Screen, a series of little dots on the timing him over the ground, and so we then were able the information we set off, we'd calculated before, we then said what, and at that last dot he dropped his bomb and he was on precisely on the position. So the bomb was dropped, and or the target flare was dropped, as it was called. Much more accurate, we thought, if we dropped the bomb, because we knew where he was quite. All that bloody worried to let you drop the bomb. It was an interesting thing, wasn't it? And anyway. Two of a second earlier and let the navigator drop the bomb. Very human thing. What were we going to do for targets further distance? A photograph of the ground, and when they came into business, if on long distance targets, but the after we invaded, we then had mobile ground stations. I took one. stations on the ground in France to continue the bombing. In England to start with, and because we couldn't have a landline to talk to each other, we got one of the most expert Morse operators I've ever heard in my life. He was like lightning, and he spoke to the other stations. The two of them spoke to each other and spoke to us. It was wonderful, but it worked. But of course soon we got another mobile on, and eventually the biggest and most exciting, most successful, I think, we were in business, and we could go on and clean up the roar where all the armaments were, and did. Was invasion night. Invasion night was the most complex beaches that could have blown the hell out of the fleet and the invading barges. And it was our task to take them out. And we did. Nine of some of them long after the war. Some of them, I think, the crews must have fled under the sheer weight of the attack. It was, I mean, we had hundreds of Lancasters following our targets. Some were badly, badly destroyed. Some probably, I'm not sure, probably couldn't get their supplies across. There was so much bombing all around the place. But that was a great night to have achieved that. Before that, of course, we cleaned up a whole area right round the beaches and a lot of other places as well to kill off the transport systems and the railways. But that was a hugely successful affair. And then, of course, the damage done to German industry, but also the huge numbers of people in German towns that were kept down because of the bombing. And lastly, when the V1